If you'll take your Bible in hand and be turning to the book of John and the fourth chapter. The book of John and the fourth chapter. The Bible being our textbook, we look to this fourth chapter for lessons that you and I can learn today that'll help us and benefit us so much as we try to serve the Lord. When therefore the Lord, this is the first verse, knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they came out of the city, and came unto him. What a wonderful story. True event in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A talk with a woman at a well. A very simple story. Basic, but basic for our understanding. Simple enough that you and I, and even the youngest, can get a hold of. And the lessons are many that we learn from the many things that she asked and Jesus said. Jesus left Judea and departed for Galilee in John 4, verse 3, and the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. When Jesus came to Sychar, that city in Samaria, he met this woman who is known to us as the woman at the well. And this wonderful story, preserved for all time now, for each and every person to benefit from. You know, it's amazing that Jesus had dealings with this woman. At least so she thought, and so the others thought as well. In verse 7, there cometh a woman. It doesn't say, there cometh a woman, and in there. It says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. You know, it might be easy to pass over that and not realize the significance of that when it says there was a woman of Samaria. Under normal circumstances, if you would, there would have been no communication at all between a Jewish man and a Samaritan woman. Each would have ignored the other, typically. She seems shocked. Therefore, when Jesus asked, "Will you give me a drink of water?" What did she say to him? Verse 9, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Bible records for us that under normal circumstances, if you would, in this time, there would have been no communication between a Jewish man and a Samaritan woman. They had no dealings with one another. Then why did Jesus have dealings with this woman, you might think? You might ask. Well, there's a simple explanation to this, and I think the explanation is clear in the story. But there's another verse that sheds a lot of light on that. It's a verse in the book of Luke, chapter 19, and in verse 10. And it's a verse that you're familiar with. It says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, that in a nutshell explains why Jesus spoke with this woman of Samaria. While normally a Jewish man would have said nothing to her, Jesus had a different mindset. Somebody say, well, he wasn't normal. Well, he was the Son of God. But the key was the fact that his purpose in life was different than most. He was concerned about the souls of other people. He came to this world to seek people out who wanted to be saved. And he came to save the people that would seek him out. You see, generally we're told that the Jews would go far out of their way, not even to pass through a city of the Samaritans. They would cross the Jordan River just above the Dead Sea, go through Perea and cross over just south of the Sea of Galilee, thus bypassing Samaria altogether. That was a common route. Oh, it'd been quicker. But the Jews, they have no dealings with the Samaritans. Later, when the disciples return, having gone, the Bible says, into the city to buy meat, in verse 8, they marveled, didn't they, that Jesus talked with this woman. He did. He had dealings with her, didn't he? You see, the gospel of Christ is for everybody. It's for those that we may not have dealings with. Or we may think we don't want to have any dealings with them. You see, the gospel of Christ is for them as well. Jesus dealt with this woman because he was concerned about her and concerned about her soul. The songwriter wrote, "Of one the Lord has made the race. Through one has come the fall. Where sin has gone, must go His grace. The gospel is for all. We learn about living water. Water, living? Yes. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee water?
No.
Living water. You see, Jesus had asked the woman, Give me to drink. There at a well. Jesus told the woman, I would have given thee living water. Did she know who she was talking to? As far as she knew, just a man sitting there on the well who'd asked, Give me to drink. But she knew he was not a Samaritan. She knew that this man, generally, under normal circumstances, if he would have been like others, wouldn't even have been in the city and wouldn't have asked such a thing. Notice what she said in verse 11. She said, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You see, she didn't understand that language, did she? You know, when sometimes when we discuss spiritual language, people don't understand spiritual language, do they? We talk about living water. How many people would understand that out in the world today if you went door to door and knocked on the door and said, I'd like to talk to you about living water? They might think you want to sell them a water conditioner or something, right? They wouldn't understand that. You don't have anything to draw with. From whence then hast thou that living water? She must have perceived that Jesus was referring to something different. There was something different about what he talked about than just that water at the well. And so she continued asking, didn't she? She asked, Art thou greater than our father Jacob? You know, Jacob was great because he gave him the well. He digged the wells. Remember that in our studies early on? Been a long time ago, hadn't it, when we studied that? Drank himself, gave to his children, gave to his cattle. They were still drinking from it in the time of Jesus. In John 4 and verse 12. You know, that well was already more than 1,700 years old. And Jesus sat down on the rim of the well, didn't he? Isn't that fascinating to you? It is to me. Jesus answered, Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. He said, I am so thirsty. And somebody gives you a glass of water, don't they? And you drink that water, but it's not long, what happens? You're thirsty again, aren't you? You're ready for another glass of water. Whosoever drinketh of this water, now see the difference? Shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Interesting expression there. A well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Verses 13 and 14. Be in him a well of water. Isn't that fascinating language? Springing up. You see a well springing up? You might think of an oil well and that, right? We don't think of that too much with water, do we? But that's the contrast. Here, this well in contrast with a well springing up unto everlasting life. What a wonderful well. A wonderful thought. Living water. Give me this water. Would you say that? That's what she said in verse 15. Give me this water that I thirst not. neither come hither to draw. You know what? You don't have to come to this well to draw this water, do you? And to drink this, you'd never be thirsty again. It's a difference. That's spiritual language. It helps us to appreciate what spiritual language is. The song we sing, "There's a Fountain Free," says, "There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above." And He bids us all freely drink. The chorus of the song, "In the Desert of Sorrow and Sin," says, "I thirst, let me drink. Of the life-giving stream, let me drink. 'Tis the rock, cleft for me, this the water of life." That's special, isn't it? We learn about living water. And we learn about Jesus' knowledge in this story. Jesus said to her, "Go call thy husband." Now, what's that about? You know, it seems to almost not fit until you read and digest the whole thing. And then it does. "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Was that true? Not exactly. But sort of. Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five. And he whom thou now hast," see, she had a husband, "is not thy husband. In that thou sayest truly." Oh, I don't have a husband. Yes, she did. But she didn't either. Because they were not lawfully married. Then Jesus said to her, "Thou hast well said." You know what she said after that? "Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet." What made her say that? He knew something about her that perhaps even others didn't know. Here was a stranger. She didn't know him. He didn't know her, so to speak, to begin with. But he did know her because of who he was and the knowledge that our Lord possesses. We learn of Jesus' supernatural knowledge. And she perceived something about that. She knew that no ordinary man would know those things. She just thought that would probably be the end of it, didn't she? I don't have a husband. And if somebody told you that, you said, "Are you married?" And they said, "No, I don't have a husband." Well, what would you think? Well, they don't have a husband, right? You say, "I don't possess that knowledge," and you don't possess that knowledge. But Jesus knew better. You've had five. And the one that you're married to now is not really your husband. Is how we'd say it today, wouldn't we? Jesus had brought up something here that the woman was ashamed of. She thought, evidently, that statement, "I have no husband," would hide what she had done. Jesus would not know. How startled she must have been by his knowledge of her affairs. "Oh, I may not know, and you may not know, and somebody else may not know, but I'll tell you something. God knows." The Bible teaches that Jesus knew all men and what was in man. John 2. Verses 24 and 25. And later, you remember, the woman goes into the city and tells the people of the city, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 29. What a great lesson. Jesus' knowledge. Don't forget it. God knows. Another lesson. And this is what we usually think about when we think about this story, is the things that are stated and about worshiping in spirit and in truth. We read that and we study that a lot, and what a great lesson. But it's in association with this story and Jesus talking to this woman at the well. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place that men ought to worship? Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, she perceived that He was a prophet. And perceiving that, she asked a question. Wouldn't you like to ask a prophet a question? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is a place that we ought to worship. What about that? What about the place of worship? And notice that Jesus' answer to that, the hour cometh when ye shall worship, neither worship in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem. The mountain to which the Samaritan woman referred would have been Mount Gerizim. It was opposite to Mount Ebal. That was the location of the temple that had been built by the Samaritans after the close of the Old Testament. That temple was destroyed by John Hyrcanus about 128 B.C., according to history. But that site continued to be holy to the Samaritans today. And as Jesus spoke, what matters is not the place where men worship. It doesn't matter whether it's Jerusalem or New York City or Ontario, Canada or Terre Haute, Indiana. What matters is not the place where men worship, but that they worship God in spirit and in truth. That is to say, with heart, and according to the will of God. Isn't that what we've seen that oftentimes in the Old Testament was missing in people's worship? No heart. No feeling. And I wonder sometimes today if we become somewhat like the people of the Old Testament. We sort of take worship for granted. It's something that we do on a regular basis. And you know, worship is so precious, so important, so valuable to God's people, has always been, and should always be meaningful to God's people. We should never approach worship in a lackadaisical manner. We should always be able to sing in spirit and in truth and pray in the same way. We should always show a zeal for the Lord when it comes to worship, realizing that our worship is directed to God. Oh, certainly it benefits each other. It shows our reverence and respect for God. It shows our respect for the will of God and His plan for worship. But primarily it's directed to God, isn't it? He is the object of our worship. And who are we worshiping? We're not worshiping a man. We're not worshiping our family, someone in our family. We're worshiping the God of this world. The God who in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. The God that made us. the God that from the dust of the ground could make a man, and from the rib of a woman, from the rib of man could make a woman. And I'll tell you what, that makes a whole lot more sense than a big bang, doesn't it? It's true according to the Word of God, that God made and created everything in 6 days. Again, it's not the place, but that we do worship in spirit and in truth. The great lesson of the Messiahship of Jesus is found here. Verses 25 and 6, after Jesus had said these things, the woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Did she know at that point he was the Messiah or the Messiah? Well, she was learning, wasn't she? You know, it takes sometimes a little while for us to come along, doesn't it? It takes a little while for us to get the big picture. I think it was coming, but it took her a little while. When the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us everything. And then Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. Can you imagine that? That moment when Jesus says, I am he. I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am the only begotten of the Father. He's saying all of that in that language, isn't he? The Messiah. You know, and this is the very first recorded declaration of his Messiahship. The very first time he ever said it. I am he. And what does she do? Well, she leaves the water pot, doesn't she? It's like, well, that's not so significant, so important. It probably was to a lot of people, wasn't it? But you know, this living water was a lot more important. She leaves her water pot, she goes into the city, and she tells the people of the city, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. What's she refer to? You've got 5 husbands. And the one that you have now is not your husband. Come, see a man. Told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? In verse 29. And those who come from the city and hear Jesus' words said, now we believe, not because of the saying, for we have heard ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Verse 42. You remember when Andrew brought Simon Peter to Jesus? The Bible says that Andrew told Simon, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Oh, what joy to find the Messiah, to find Christ. John 1, verse 41. You know, some people never find Christ. They'll live their whole life and they'll never find Christ because they don't want to find Christ. There'll be some that will think they're seeking Him, but they're not seeking Him like they should, and they'll never find Christ. Some find Christ and then give Him up. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, whether I believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not. Simon Peter, upon Jesus asking, who do men say that I am? That's Jesus asking that. Who do men say that I am? You remember what he said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was right on. Matthew 16 and verse 16. One more. We learn of her zeal to tell others about the Messiah. She left her water pots, went into the city, told the people, come. Come. You know, that coming invitation is a declaration of zeal, isn't it? You know, when people who don't say come, I think lack zeal. Or they're embarrassed, one or the other. You know, it's not difficult to say come. It's not difficult to say, won't you come visit with us this next Sunday? Won't you come with us to Bible study on Wednesday night? Won't you come to our gospel meeting? We'd love to have you come. You know, the word come goes a long ways. She said, come. And you know what? They came. Isn't that amazing? So I don't know how many people I've said come to. I've never had anybody to come. How'd you say it? You wouldn't want to come, would you? How'd you say it? Did you say it like this woman said it? You see, I think sometimes there's a difference, and people detect the difference. They detect the difference in our zeal and our attitude toward what we're doing. Come. See a man told me whatsoever I did. She demonstrated her zeal for the Lord, didn't she? And they were enthused about coming. They wanted to come. And they wanted to see. And they believed, not because of the saying of the woman, but they saw for themselves. And that's what we hope, isn't it? That people, when they do come, when we say, won't you come? They will come, and they will learn, and they will do the will of God. What about our zeal? She first called him a Jew. I think this is interesting in verse 9. By the time we get to verse 11, she called him Sir. By the time we get to verse 19, she called him a prophet. And now she invites her city, come see the Christ. That's what we try to do, is bring people along, don't we? In our teaching. She was brought along. And we're glad she was. Her zeal was like that of Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who after finding Jesus, first found his brother Simon and brought him to Jesus in John 1, 40-42. We need a zeal to tell the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus, we sing. And I sometimes think of the words of the song that says, you never mentioned him to me. You know anybody that could say that? Great lessons. Jesus continues today to offer water from a well that springs up into everlasting life. Will you drink of that water and live? You have that choice, just like she did. We say you can lead a horse to water, but what? You know the rest of that, don't you? You can't make him drink. And that's true in this sense, isn't it? You can lead folks to living water, but you cannot make them drink. The choice is yours. You've heard the word of God. Would you believe with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess your faith? I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. There's no doubt about that. And we confess our faith in the fact that He is the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins, to rise to walk, to live a godly and faithful life. Oh, sometimes we drift away. It's easy done. A lot of folks do it. It's not right. But when we do, we're all in the same boat, if you will, aren't we? There's no difference. Because the plan is the same for everybody. There's a plan to come back and to obey the Lord and to make our lives right with God. We remember a story of a man in the Bible who was told, your heart is not right. Perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That describes a lot of people today, doesn't it? And he finally said, pray for me that these things come not upon me. We'll be glad to do that for you. Living water. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? While we stand and sing, won't you come?